Hello all, welcome back to Financial Management 2 Chapter Number 4, Capital Expenditure Decisions. We are going to see now how these capital expenditure decisions are taken, whether these decisions really have that value. We've been talking about investment decisions in the previous chapters, and we said we are going to use capital budgeting techniques to evaluate decisions. While we are taking decisions, what is the process which we follow? What are the things which we need to check? Let's look at this chapter. We are going to cover what are the different factors contributing to the significance of these capital expenditure decisions. So which factors are you going to check before you take capital expenditure decision? We are going to analyze various categories of these decisions. We'll also see each decision as a different having different factors and importance of each criteria. We'll understand the administration of capital expenditure decision and try to see the latest trends in the capital expenditure decision market. So we're going to see at these different factors. Let us look at how capital budgeting decisions are important, what's the process followed, what are all you're going to evaluate while doing a capital budgeting, capital expenditure decision. So first, what is capital expenditure decision? Let's do a quick summary. We said capital expenditure decision primarily means investing huge chunk of capital in fixed assets in such a way that they are going to generate revenue for future. So I'll say it's an organization's long-term commitment to block the money in a particular asset, which is going to help the company produce and sell future products or engage in other business activities. They basically form a foundation for future profitability of business. The only reason that a company is going to take a capital expenditure decision is to make more and more business, more and more profits. If you look at these capital expenditure decisions, there are primarily two parts of the decisions. The first part of the decision in the process is make the decision. We've been focusing in the previous chapter about evaluating the decision, whether we should take the decision or no, and what are the different techniques to make the decision happen. The second part of the decision says implement it and monitor whether the decision which you have taken are, giving you a good performance or no. So I'll say it's a post-performance analysis. In this particular chapter, our major focus would be making the decision. So we are going to also focus on understanding how you make the decision. After looking at evaluation techniques, let's also understand what builds up the entire decision. So the procedure we need to follow when you're making a capital expenditure decision would primarily include three things. First, please develop a quantitative estimate. When I'm saying please develop a quantitative estimate, for each decision which the company intends to take, quantify, put in numbers, what is the inflow, what is the outflow, what is the money coming in, going out, what is your expectation with respect to demand, or what is your expectation with respect to expenses which you intend to incur. It's not only jotting down the expenses, but quantifying each number and talking about how your decision is going to impact the profitability. Second, build decision models. So after you have decided how much money you intend to invest, what would be the returns, how would the demand flow, what would be the selling price, start making decision models based on different scenarios. So talk about in 1 year, how much products will you sell? And what is your decision with respect to investment? How much money are you going to invest? And make a decision model which says whether you will take the decision, not take a decision. So budget your each expense, make model talking about accepting, rejecting the project, accepting or rejecting a particular decision. So build decision models. And third, administrate all your capital expenditure decision process. So it's not only taking a decision. So we're going to take a decision, fine, but we're going to at each level make the decision happen. We're going to monitor it. We're going to go each step ahead whenever we are evaluating. So it's a step on process where on the first process would support the second one and so on. So that's about capital expenditure decision. Now we said first quantify all your estimates. The procedure says quantify estimates. So to do a quantitative estimate, what all are we going to quantify? We are going to actually find out cost and benefit of the project. So I'm going to talk about what would be the total cash outflows in numbers. So I'm going to talk about what's my investment. It's 10 lakh, 15 lakh. It's for the project, buying the machinery. It's employing the people, training them. What is my total cost outflow when it comes to the project? Similarly, I'm also going to talk about the cash inflows. I'm going to quantify what is the demand. I'm going to quantify what is the product sales I'm expecting. And I'm also going to quantify the profitability. This is very, very crucial, as it's very important to understand what's my total cost with respect to the project and what is my total benefit. This information would help any company take decision in principle whether you want to accept investing in the project or reject. The previous chapter, we have used capital budgeting techniques to quantify our decision using different techniques. This particular domain talks about that quantitative estimates. When you're also looking at quantitative estimates, it's necessary to estimate a lot of capital expenditure decisions. First, at what stage of evaluation your project is? Okay, now please understand, my quantitative estimate would be perfect for the nearer year. So whatever is going to happen in the nearer future, the estimates would look accurate. I don't know, I may estimate the numbers after 5 years or 10 years, but there is a possibility that after, you know, 3 years, the entire business cycle change. Maybe my competitors come in or the entire market style preferences change. However, I'm estimating them for future. I'll say the degree of precision is very, very high for the nearer future. So estimate all for entire stage of evaluation of the project. Find out. I'll say have a lesser precision for the far years, have a better precision, you'll always have a better precision in the near future. Also, look at the sensitivity of the project's economics. What is the level of accuracy? What's your timing? How sensitive is the project with respect to any change in any factor in the market? So what if the raw material becomes scarce? What if there is, you know, a competitor comes with a better alternative? So how sensitive your project would be? That would help you determine how would your project cash inflows might change for the next few years. So your estimate should account for all these opportunity cost loss also when you are doing a quantitative estimate to have the best precision for your quantitative estimates. Third, look at what is the similarity of the project which you are quantifying compared to previous projects undertaken, maybe by your company or by your competitors. Always try to compare it with the next best project which you have done. If it is similar, try to pick up estimates from there so that your estimates for this project are more realistic. So while defining a quantitative estimate, ensure you are taking care of these factors to ensure you have a better precision in quantifying the numbers compared to what you would have done on your own. Next is fixed investment estimates. Now, we've already quantified what's going to happen with respect to selling price, demand. We said sales number, profitability to take capital budgeting decision. But it's also very, very important to quantify what's my total investment. So how much would be my total cash outflows? Till now, our entire focus has been finding out present value of inflows, finding out estimates for inflow, finding out quantitative estimates of demands or of sale numbers. But nobody's talked about what are your estimates when it comes to outflows. So very, very important to understand how much money would I pool in. As I talk about fixed estimates, it's not only the cost with respect to purchase of fixed asset. It also includes the installation charges, the maintenance charges, the commission which you paid to get the fixed asset into place, your entire, you know, initial spillage, spoilage, any spare parts inventory, what are the different parts which you'll keep on replacing, even human capital and the training cost of people who will be deployed on the project. All these would be my fixed investment estimates, which would be taken together to start the project. So you need to quantify all these numbers, have these fixed investment estimates with you in place so that you know what is your total cash outflow. Your outflow estimates would be better if you consider all these aspects. If you look at the simplest mean of estimating these costs, you'll always try to adjust the known investment of a project of a similar nature. So the most simplest and easiest way, go back to your company project list, try to see which project matches the project, try to pick up those estimates, revise it up for the current scenario, current year, for the cost involved, or looking at different business cycle, how would these costs change? And that estimate would help you form the basis of your current estimate. The most complex means while estimating these fixed investment estimates basically requires a detailed project plan, where individual cost of each item would be taken into consideration and other cost would be developed. So what I will do, I will find out the total workforce required as one of my plant or maybe develop a planned training module. I'll make a detailed plan for each plan, each criteria for number of people will be trained. I'll find out what is my training and development cost. So each cost criteria will be first defined, and in minute details, it would be estimated what cost will the company incur for the same. This is one of the examples when you're talking about, you know, making a detailed project plan and talking about cost individually in detail and looking at one cost, I'll find out what are the different costs which would be deployed in the company. The next one, very important cost estimate would be working capital estimate. What do you mean by working capital? Working capital is primarily that money which you'll use for day-to-day activity. So the money required for doing a daily activity is working capital. This estimate becomes equally important because for the project, I would never want to go out of cash. I would always want to ensure that the project keeps on running because this project has initial lot of capital investment and the company is looking at cash inflows, increasing the cash inflows with the project deployment. So this analysis is very, very important estimate when it comes to investment requirement of the project. And it would require a lot of analysis done on what kind of account receivables you will have, what kind of credit policy, what is the cash, so how much would be your account payable, what credit policy are you following with your vendors, with your suppliers, and what level of inventory are you going to maintain. This particular estimate would primarily focus on your current assets. So I'm going to look at what estimates are you going to draw in so that the company never, you know, faces any problem with respect to the project getting stalled. If I have a timeline for the project, I don't want the project to get stalled because of any kind of money requirement. So this estimate again becomes very, very crucial. Coming to what is the planning horizon? Now we've seen what are the estimates and we are understanding that these estimates are very, very crucial when it comes to, you know, making a capital project decision. Now, when we are doing this particular activity, you have to understand that the project has different kind of lives. And the entire planning horizon of the project depends on these lives. So first very important definition of a project life is economic life of the project. So in the planning horizon, I'm going to look at how many years will the project sustain? How many years will the project give me cash inflows? So it's very often very, very difficult estimate to be made. So I'm going to decide today what's my entire horizon, how many years will I run the project, what's my total project life cycle. It's not necessary that my estimate would be 100% right, but this particular criteria is very, very important as this criteria will tell you how long will you wait for your cash inflows to come. How many years will your cash inflows keep on coming because of this project? Okay. Usually, if you see, you know, the projects which are with respect to construction companies, a road project, highway project, where toll gates are put, they'll mention the estimated life of that particular, you know, project. So they'll say 20 years, 10 years, they're going to collect toll from you. So that's nothing but the entire economic life of the project. I'm saying how many years I'm going to charge you a toll fee. That's the economic life of the project. Similarly, for any company, if they're going to deploy a new, you know, product or a new machine, they're going to talk about what's the estimated life of that particular machine, of that particular project. How many years are you going to make that product? And what's the entire product life cycle to define the project life cycle? Next is in economic life, you know, the second very important life definition or planning horizon definition could be physical life. I want to know for my asset, what's the physical life of the asset? That means how far in how many years will the asset get worn out or it would become obsolete? Okay, so what is my physical life? Whether I can replace some parts and still put it into place, or I would have to completely scrap the asset and buy a new asset. So I want to understand what is the physical life of my asset, how effectively I can maintain it, whether it needs to be replaced, in which year it needs to be replaced, what kind of investment if I go for replacement or repair. Next, I want to also understand what is the technological life of this particular, you know, asset. So technological life also means today you may be using a particular technology. Maybe you are using any software which is helping you do a lot of analytics. And after 5 years, you'll find that, you know, AI has developed a lot. Artificial intelligence gives you a better technology. Your project would become redundant after 5 years with the advent of new softwares, new technology. So what's the technological life? Till how long do you think this technology would sustain? Whether this technology which you are going to use, whether it will become 100% obsolete or it would still have a life. So if you talk about, you know, the change in communication technology, you saw initially we had pagers. From pagers, we then came to mobile phones. And now we have smartphones. So the entire concept of pager and sending messages completely gone. We don't have this instrument at all. The technology has made pager technology completely obsolete. So what kind of project you're putting in case it's a tech project, whether there would be a new machine replacing it or it would be, you know, you'll be able to do some kind of software changes and still use the machine which you're proposing for the project. So what's the technological life of the project? Next, product or market life. So when I'm saying product market life, I want to understand what is the acceptability of the customers towards the product. Whether a machine may be in excellent physical condition or there could be any better machine which can make the product faster. What can improve my asset? So I'll say, coming from a manufacturing company point of view, you know, changing your assembly line from manual assembly line to automatic, and then from automatic to even robotic. So what kind of product market life do you have? Whether the organization would continue with the same assembly line or would want to go for the best technology to make the products faster. So what's your product market life? Whether your product will be still acceptable in the market, whether you'll be able to make faster products, whether the waiting period becomes less, the operation efficiency is going to increase. So what's the product market life and how would it change your entire investment criteria? So try to develop a lot of market estimates. Depending on these planning horizon, you plan for all your life, decide how many years, and then start estimating each one by one. These are some of the methods which you're going to use when you're going to develop this market estimate. So let us look at each method quickly. What kind of market estimates do I draw with different methods? So first, very simple technique, or I'll say a very, very extensive technique, is market study. I'm saying it's simpler because it is going to connect you to the customer. Okay, so market study forecasts a lot of sales, you know, numbers. What is the demand forecast of the project? What is the expected sales number? What kind of marketing activities to do? What kind of advertising or branding promotion activities you want to do? What is the acceptability? Were they going to do a pilot testing or no? So what are the different sales forecast techniques which you are going to use? Whether you're going to look at the company's position in the market, are you the market leader? Do you have the maximum market share? Or you're going to grab the market share with coming up with a new project? So what's the degree of marketing risk which is associated to your venture or to your project? While you're developing the sales forecast numbers, you're not only looking at your product and services, which may be different compared to your competitors. You're also going to look at what's happening in the market. So what's my competitor doing? Okay. Or how my competitor is behaving, or what kind of product is he or she selling. Whether the sales forecast number which I am making is based on my strategy or no. Maybe my vision or mission is more oriented to be a low-cost producer. So am I able to be a low-cost producer with the new project or product I'm going to come up with? If yes, the number should talk for the same. So you'll see, when I'm a low-cost producer, not necessarily I may be an innovator. Okay, so how much would be the volume if I'm a low cost producer? What would be the volume if I'm a value creator? So your demand forecast would also depend on what kind of new product you come up with, what's your delivery time, what is the flexibility in the production process, and whether your customers would really prefer this particular product or no. So looking at your goal, your vision, mission, what kind of product are you planning, what kind of sales forecast are you making, and whether it's aligning with your business policy or no, would help you to come to a better market estimate compared to any other company. Another way of projecting your sales could also be using internal sources of data. What could be an internal source of data? Most of the companies now want the employees to use the product and come back with a quick feedback. Or they may, you know, have an experimental group or a focused group who will keep on trying their new products and come up with a feedback. So they'll prepare their internal, they have their internal team, internal customers who are trying and coming and giving feedback for improvement of the product. So either method may produce a set of possible outcomes, probability of being right, wrong, you'll find out a weighted average of all your possible outcomes to find out what's an expected sales project number. So you are finding out internally using a different feedback mechanism from your internal sources or a focus group or an experimental group, what should be the expected sales number to come up with the figure. You could also look at a similar product launch and try to understand what was the acceptability of your product change or a taste or a flavor change when you introduce in the market. You could use an internal source of data also to do a sales forecasting to have the better estimates for your cash inflows. You could next look at competitive factors. So we right now talked about sales forecasting, looking at our demand or looking at our vision mission. Why not look at our competitors now? So maybe I'm going to invest in a project which is similar or, you know, is as good as what my competitor is doing. If that's the case, let me understand what was the demand when my competitor launched the project. I also want to understand what my competitor's standing and how much market share did my competitor grab with that particular project coming into place. Whether my competitor has expanded the possibility, is going to put in money in the similar project, whether my competitor has similar economics. If yes, what kind of product my competitor is selling? What is the technology life cycle of that particular product? This will help me understand better when it comes to estimating my own sales numbers. So when I'm looking at my sales number or my market share, if I'm looking at my competitor and the products or the offering which my competitor gives, maybe now I'm in a better position to understand how the estimate should look like. So competitive factors also play a very, very important role. So it's not, don't take any decision based on isolation. Look in the market, look at your competitors, try to understand your standing versus your competitors, and then forecast the numbers. Coming to the next one, price estimation. Initially, I said that it is important for you to look at your mission, vision or your goal. What kind of strategy does your company take in, whether you are a low-cost producer or a value creator? So whether you are an Apple iPhone or you want to be a company which is selling, you know, volume numbers, Nokia or maybe, you know, Xiaomi is going to give volume of phones at a cheaper price. So what kind of strategy are you following? You want to become a Maruti or you want to become a BMW? So what strategy are you playing? Depending on the strategy, you will decide your price estimate. So you will never, you know, launch a product which is not falling in place with your strategy. So you'll price the product or come up with only those projects where the product pricing is such that it matches your strategy. So estimation of price becomes very, very important, and it's one of the most difficult estimate to make. Maybe you're forecasting that the customer is ready to pay 20 rupees. However, the customer is not very, very happy with the new product taste which has come and feels, you know, it's worth the same price what it was paying for the previous product. Okay, so maybe this analysis may go wrong. And if it goes wrong, how would you actually ensure that there is volume of sales? So supply demand mismatch may happen if this price estimation goes wrong. So very important to check the price estimation. Check your strategy, check what your competitor has done with respect to the price, what economics did your competitor teach you, what is your strategy, what's the price of your competitor's product, which is similar or somewhere matching to what you're going to launch, and then estimate your price. Ensure you don't make a mistake in pricing decision, as it's going to impact the demand of the product and your sales number. So next important estimates. We talked about sales, we talked about competitors, we've talked about, you know, demand, we've talked about pricing. Very, very important and crucial. So once you freeze in the pricing, you can't do much with the pricing, you can't change the pricing. So what is there which you need to, you know, manage so that you get better margins? It's always the operating cost. What's an operating cost? It is that cost which the company is going to incur to make the product ready for sale. So we need to ensure that operating cost estimates are kept in mind before we actually take this ahead. So what kind of operating cost estimates would you keep in mind? First, whenever you're looking at operating cost numbers, you need to remember a few things. First, only cash cost items need to be considered. Don't consider non-cash items like depreciation. You know, they need to be kept away. They need to be kept separated, because right now we're only looking at cash inflows. When you're looking at cash inflows, you know, depreciation being a non-cash expense, we are not going to consider them while calculating the estimates. So only look at cash cost figures. Try to take all these cash cost figures after payment of taxes, so you know what is the total cost which you're going to incur. Next, try to look at future costs which are relevant. Only talk about costs which are respect to the project, which are for a particular time, which could be quantified, and they are relevant when it talks about the project. So any future cost which you are finding out, find out what's the historical cost if possible. Try to predict it with the historical cost, what would be the future cost, or try to predict depending on what is the general trend in the market, but try to keep them very, very realistic. Next, and third very important thing which you need to keep in mind while doing your operating cost estimate is to only take differential cost which are relevant. Don't try to, you know, add in the total cost. So let's take an example. If you're a soap making company and you started making soap, the entire formula of the soap remains same. Maybe you're coming up with new variants. You're going to add some new fragrances and you're going to launch similar products for catering a different particular niche market. So I'm not going to calculate the entire cost again right from, you know, putting in the solution to make the soap. I'll only look at what point a differential cost I'm going to incur if I'm going to come up with a new fragrance or a new color, right, for the particular product. So try looking at differential cost and try to take up these relevant costs to find out the operating cost estimates. It's only the difference here which is going to impact the company. So the difference would be the cash operating cost which is going to impact, not the entire cost which is going to impact the company. So you don't have to make an entire proposal. You only look at the differential cost while implementing this particular proposal. So these are the three very important things to take into consideration when it comes to operating cost estimates. That is, take up all the relevant cost, try to only take it for cash expenses, ignore non-cash, only take future costs which are relevant, and try to focus more on differential costs which are relevant than the entire cost in sales. Now let us take each operating cost estimate to find out what exactly would get covered when we talk about these cost estimates. Okay. Coming to the operating cost estimate, the first cost estimate being labor associated payments. So when we're talking about labor associated payments, it talks about what are the kind of wages we're going to pay to the labor, what is the direct wage rate, what's the overtime, you know, premium which they're going to get, and what are the different benefits or payment these workers get. They together will form your labor associated payment. These associated payments are more than what you are actually paying them in form of wages. Now, this needs to be accounted for. You need to estimate them really well, so you know what kind of rate you have considered, what is the current industry norm, and what is the expectation of these labor when it comes to payments. Next is labor. Every company, when they are starting a project, they always want to ensure that they reduce their cost. So reducing the time required for making the things happen in order to pay lesser labor charges is what the company wants to do. So labor saving would basically be seen in the next few years, in the starting years, maybe you have a higher labor cost, and with practice, maybe this labor cost gets less, or maybe you're deploying a project which is going to use a lot of machine, which is going to cut down the labor cost for the company. So labor savings, reducing time required for individuals is also something, an estimate which the company is going to look at. Next is efficiency improvement. Now, we talked about labor cost being one of the most important operating costs. So every company wants to ensure that each individual gives the maximum output. So you want to ensure that the project is such that is giving maximum output. So when the project is giving maximum output, you want the people deployed in the project to dedicate lesser hours and give the maximum output. You want the efficiency to improve, that instead of, you know, the labor making 10 products in a day can now make 12 products in a day. So the consumption of material should be better. Inventory use should be such. Errors should be less. Is what efficiency improvement means. So I want to deliver a quality product with having, say, zero defects or very less defects or rework in case of the project. Next is very important operating cost, services. There are differential cost of services. It could be, you know, cost with respect to transportation of the workers. It could be computer services, utility, any kind of present problem which the company has, whatever is the service which the company provides, in order to support the project forms the cost with respect to services. You will usually find the project proposal or investment proposal which will also talk about these services. Usually, if it's a new project and you company already has a setup in place, the cost of services is comparatively lesser because you would already have tried and tested services and the efficiency would be better. You only try to introduce something additional to improve the efficiency. So this is with respect to services cost, which is again an operating cost estimate. Next is maintenance. For the fixed asset we procure, for the machinery you procure for the project, it's important that you not only procure it, install it, but also timely maintain it so that the estimated life of this particular machine is more. There are lesser breakdowns if you're maintaining this particular machinery or project very well. So you want to ensure that lesser cost is incurred in breakdowns. So maintenance cost is always lesser than breakdown cost. So ensure you are timely monitoring the machinery, you're maintaining it well, you're spending money towards repair maintenance so that there is no kind of breakdown of any machinery causing any delays. Next very important cost estimate is depreciation. We said we're going to consider all the cash inflows void of depreciation, and we're going to look at only cash inflows which are after tax without depreciation. But please understand, no amount of depreciation is anyways included in any cash inflows. We never include this because this is that cost which is, you know, saved, or it's an expense which is not, it's a non-cash expense. So you don't have to really worry about this, but you're going to find out what kind of depreciation you're charging. There's an allocation of investment cost required to match these expenses. This particular depreciation would basically help you to buy future assets. Okay, so you're going to have this allocation of investment cost in order to have revenues over the life of the investment, and you're going to use this depreciation money in case you're charging depreciation in future, but it is nowhere impacting the cash inflows of the project. So you add back this depreciation as the money which you're getting back from the project. Okay, very important to understand, it is way different than a normal depreciation charge for profitability. Okay, next is property related cost. Any kind of project wherein any kind of property is involved, where you're buying any kind of property or you're buying a fixed, you know, you're using the property to install a fixed asset, it's also important to remove insurance for such kind of property. You may also pay government taxes for procuring those particular, you know, property or investing or putting in fixed asset, occupying a particular space. So it could be on rent, or you're buying it, you're paying state government taxes. Any such kind of property related cost also needs to be accounted. You need to estimate it well. You need to understand what, you know, if this is the cost of buying the property, what's also the cost with respect to having a stamp duty registration done for the property. So property related cost Insurance to lease property should also be accounted as an operating cost estimate. Next important cost when it comes to operating costs is plant administration and service department. If a company is planning to expand its operations, that means it's already working on a particular plant. It already has, say, a very big plant which has, say, 100 machinery, and it's now expanding to other, say, 20 more new machineries. It's going to make some changes in the way the plant setup is, the design or layout is, or it's going to look at how the service departments would expand because of this expansion. Then this cost also needs to be accounted out. So this particular cost is not an individual cost. Please understand, this particular plant expansion is coming up with a lot of combined cost of service departments also. You may require more individuals to do processing, servicing in the company. And there will be some additional allowances also which would be given as a cost of expansion. So this particular estimate not only talks about your investment in new machinery, it says with that expansion, a lot of service costs are going to increase, and you need to also ensure that you account for the service department expansion costs also while you're calculating or making the project estimates. Coming to the next operating cost estimate, we've already seen a lot of operating cost estimates. Now, what are you going to do with these estimates? I'm going to combine all these operating cost estimates to basically also find out what's the terminal value. When I'm saying terminal value, it is nothing but that value of the fixed asset which I have bought at the end of the life of that particular asset. So when I'm going to scrap it, when I'm going to dispose this particular fixed asset, or when I'm going to dismantle it and finish the project, or maybe sell it off at scrap in the market, what is the estimate of this particular revenue? So how much money I'm going to earn with the salvage value? What would be the trade-in on the disposable value? Why is this important? See, it's not only about the project, and it's not only about getting money invested in the project. It is also important to understand that once the project is over, you want to scrap the project, or you want to scrap the machinery, get a new one, how much money would this particular scrap sell it, or this machinery get sold? So what's the salvage value? Because that is also an indirect cash inflow in the last year. So what is your estimate with respect to selling this particular plant or selling this particular machinery in future at scrap or salvage value? How much cash inflows would come from this salvage value? Please estimate this also. Also estimate what is the effect of inflation. What is inflation? Inflation is nothing but increasing cost for the company. You right now have estimated a raw material price of 40 rupees. Inflation in the market is, say, 10%, goes up to 10%. I know that 40 rupees raw material is going to become increased by 10%, is going to become 44 rupees. I'm sure inflation would not go up by 10% with what's the current scenario in the market. But this is a rough example to understand how there would be an impact on inflation. So 5% inflation on 40 rupees is going to increase your material cost by 2 rupees. So your margins would get impacted. So very, very important while you're calculating all your operating costs, account for the effect of inflation. Try to increase your entire operating cost by the inflation number over the number of years of the life of the project. This will ensure that the purchasing power of the company is taken into care, and so your margins are, you know, true margins could be depicted as you know what is the purchasing power of your net cash flows. Also do some kind of risk analysis. Try to understand what are the different risks when you're going to come up with the project, what kind of budgeting would be required, where there is a possibility of having more than one outcome. Find out if a particular outcome happens, that means if there is a sale of your product by 10,000 units, or there is a sale of your product by 20,000 units or 50,000 units, are you ready for it? What would be your budget? What kind of inflows you need to go if the numbers keep on changing than what you have estimated? So prepare scenario analysis, do a risk assessment of each scenario, and take a decision what has to be done when it comes to investing the money. Whether your company would be able to cope up with the rising demand or no, will there be a waiting period, or there would be a free flow of the products? So quantitative evaluation of this decision becomes very, very important to predict what's going to happen in future. So risk analysis with respect to if your budget going up, down, or any change in the business cycle needs to also accounted for when it comes to operating cost estimates.